Please briefly summarize your industry background and roles at STI.
Well, I'm currently the executive director of the Steel Tube Institute. I wear two hats at the Steel Tube Institute. For the last 5 years, I've been the director of conduit. I continue to be the director of conduit, but last year, with the retirement of Joseph Anderson, I took over the role as the executive director as well. And we hired someone else, Holly Schaubert, to focus on our structural side, the HSS product mostly. And we also have other members that fall in the mechanical and drawn over mandrel and some other areas. But our largest two groups that we focus on as a trade association are electrical conduit, steel conduit, and HSS, hollow structural segments, which is a structural product. My background comes from the electrical industry and business development and marketing. And been with STI now for 5 years. And what we do as STI is represent the steel tubing industry domestically, focusing on North America, and represent their interests in codes and regulation. We do statistics work together. We do marketing promotions, and we do testing to make sure that the product is as good as it can be for the North American market. And we also make sure that we monitor imports and other competing products that our products compete against to make sure we're competitive and that the products that are going out to the market are, as top-notch as they can be.
Okay, so since you spoke of imports, can you please tell me about the current situation concerning steel import fraud? Let's just start with some background information.
It's becoming quite concerning what we're seeing, particularly in the steel conduit market. The steel industry is of vital importance to our national security, to critical infrastructure. And because of that, the federal government saw fit to add a tariff on certain products that are coming in the steel category to make certain that we continue to have the a robust industry here domestically to make the products we need for various parts of our critical infrastructure that impact national security, impact our military installations, our ability to go through the important aspects of our government that keep all of us safe here in America every day. And there are some issues with the system that is in place to monitor those tariffs. Everything that is brought in with a harmonized tariff code, and it's actually way easier than it should be to put a tariff code on a product that isn't applicable that might allow you to circumvent one of those tariffs. And so, for example, in the steel conduit industry, we see a lot of people bringing in or importers bringing in conduit as insulated conduit. Which is not applicable to the actual electrical product that you know as electrical steel conduit. If it is insulated, it can't be used as an equipment grounding conductor, which means it can't work to find a fault, which becomes a safety concern. And so we're seeing them bring products in with either no HTS code, and then they don't have to pay a tariff, or the wrong HTS code. We see them bring it in as various construction products, various other metal products. I even caught one company the other day, because we monitor this as the Steel Tube Institute, bringing in several shipments of steel conduit as playing cards.
That's interesting. So how is this directly affecting the U.S. steel industry and its members? And how might this be a safety concern?
It's affecting our members because it's drastically cutting into the volume that they can operate at, which means they need to cut employees sometimes, or they need to not run full shifts. All of our domestic manufacturers are very good employers. They're very good to their employees. They have tremendous benefits package. These are very high-tech jobs, and they're very well compensated jobs. And they're the type of manufacturing jobs that we need in our country to continue to grow and continue to have a strong economy. And there's less and less of them each year as these products are brought in, and they're brought in and sold at dumping prices, sometimes 20, 30% below the market. And they're bought by companies and installed in projects, and sometimes even installed in projects that require products to be made in America. Sometimes governmental and institutional projects end up with these products on it because the importers that are bringing them in aren't being honest about where it's coming from, and they're not being honest with the trade agreements that we have with other countries. The biggest concern is related to them calling it insulated conduit, when if it is insulated, it can't be used as an equipment grounding conductor, which means that there's not a supplemental grounding conductor needing to be run in that conduit. And that is per the construction allowed by the listing agencies that they list these products through make sure that. And it also is not in accordance with the National Electric Code that it would be installed under here in the United States.
Okay, thanks. So what currently is being done about the problem, and what do you think should be happening?
What's currently being done is everything that we can do to make sure that importers are being honest. We don't have a problem with product being imported. Of course, we like to promote our domestic manufacturers. But if you're going to import product in the United States, you need to do it honestly, and you need to pay any tariff that the federal government has seen fit to put in place. What we do have happened, and what we do as the Steel Tube Institute, is we monitor these and we turn companies in that are not being honest, that are trying to circumvent the harmonized or the tariff. And we file what's called e-allegations with the Customs and Border Protection and the Department of Commerce. What happens with that is they wait till there's a mountain of evidence, and it really doesn't end up having a lot of teeth to the program when they can bring several years of shipments in before anything is done about it. And then they might just change to another doing business as company, another DBA, and start bringing it in under that. Or they can actually apply to have a confidential manifest, which means we can't even see who they are, and they can bring it in under an incorrect tariff code or not bring it in with any tariff code. So we're seeing that happen. We're also seeing product coming in from Mexico in particular, where some companies are shipping it to Canada with the correct tariff code, and they're shipping it to the United States with the incorrect tariff code. Same product coming out of the same factory. That tells you that they're obviously changing that tariff code to circumvent the tariff laws that we have here in the United States. There is another issue at play here, and that's the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, the USMCA. This is the trade agreement that replaced NAFTA, and there's an anti-surge clause in there that if any of the products that are part of this trade agreement begin to surge beyond historic levels, that's the phrasing used in this trade agreement, then the trade official from the United States can go to their counterpart in Canada or Mexico, whichever the case is, and they can work out a solution to monitor and to possibly cap, or there's a number of things that can happen to keep that surge from affecting the trade agreement and the flow of goods and services for the betterment of the economy of each of these countries. Well, that has happened. It surged beyond historic levels to a tune of 4 or 5-fold from where it was in the early teen years of the 2015 through 17. And we went to the trade ambassador. They went to their counterpart. We put in a permitting program for a category called standard pipe. What we ended up having happen is they continued to bring it in under just the different tariff codes, and they just flat out ignored the permitting program. And the U.S. ambassador didn't do anything to levy any penalties or ask for anything to happen in particular with their counterpart in Mexico. And the Mexican officials didn't do anything either. So The permitting program in the USMCA and its anti-trade clause has no teeth. It's not nothing more than a piece of paper if we aren't going to have our trade officials and their counterparts in other countries do anything about the surges and the issues that are coming from those imports.
Okay, got it. So is there anything that our audience of engineers and specifiers, is there anything they can do to help?
They need to very carefully look at the products that they're getting in and make sure that they are hopefully made domestically. But if they're imports, you need to be able to trace that back to exactly where it comes from. And you should ask for the paperwork on that accompanied that product as it came across the seas or into the U.S. port. Ask them what harmonized tariff code it came under. You should make sure that you're not contributing to this issue that will over time drastically hurt our U.S. Steel industry and our ability to produce products that are vital to our infrastructure here. Should contact your congressmen and senators and make sure that they know that you support the U.S. domestic steel industry and that you think that the trade ambassador needs to do more to have some teeth into these programs. These domestic manufacturers, they are good corporate citizens. They're investing heavily into the safety of their employees, to making sure that those products are so tight within spec so the product is exactly what a specifier, an engineer, an architect needs for their project. And they've done everything that they can to bring down the carbon emissions as well. That's one of the biggest things that they're investing in today to make sure that the steel industry is of tomorrow in the United States is even greener than it is now. And we have the greenest steel industry in the world. When you compare it against imports coming in from China that are made with BOF furnaces, those are just absolute horrible carbon emitters. So if you want to have, you know, a greener building, a greener project, need to be investing in product that's made here domestically. This is just something that we need to get a handle around, and we need to empower the awesome, you know, federal employees that we have to do more to help us because they want to, and they're a little bit handicapped. There's a lot of red tape, and there's not enough teeth in the enforcement that they have at their disposal. We need to empower them and really help them out and make sure that we have an ability to help American workers, American companies, and make sure that we have a resilient and robust industry for decades to come.